Well, thanks for joining us on this week's Tech Law 10. I'm Jonathan Armstrong. I'm speaking to you from the UK. And Eric, you're in California.
A very windy San Francisco. I was blown across the bay as I took my ferry into work today.
Oh, it must be catching. We had that yesterday over here in Europe. But talking of winds then, there seems to be a sort of cold wind of privacy regulation coming from European shores and hitting the east coast of the U.S. certainly, with Obama's announcement that the U.S. would also have federal privacy laws. Well, what do you know about that, Eric?
Well, I don't know whether we interpret it as a cold wind or a warm, balmy breeze. I guess it depends on which side of the fence you sit in terms of whether you're pro or con. But yes, a couple weeks ago, the White House released a white paper with certain recommendations as to a new consumer privacy protection regime here in the United States. It essentially advocates a two-prong approach, one for establishing a set of baseline privacy principles in a what you might call a consumer bill of rights, and that would come in tandem with a set of voluntarily created and implemented codes of conduct for businesses that would then be backed up with enforcement by the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, and also the state attorney generals here. Some believe that having an enforceable set of codes of conduct is sensible because there isn't just a sort of a one-size-fits-all for privacy protection across the board. Some believe that it's important to have enforcement backing this up to make sure that companies actually fulfill their privacy protection promises, which is, I think, a good point personally. It's not enough just to have a platinum set of privacy pronouncements in a policy posted online, for example. You actually need to follow them up in practice. Now, even though there's this wind of potential change coming, as you mentioned, Jonathan, you know, it will take some time to achieve consensus, and it's not viewed as very likely that Congress will pass any overarching consumer privacy law in the short term. So one thing we have to sort of ask ourselves is, you know, why is this happening right now? And perhaps you're right, it has to do with some influence from overseas. And I think the view has been internationally that the United States needs to catch up with the stronger privacy protections that are in place in other countries, notably in Europe. And perhaps the hope is that if some of this comes to being here in the United States, it will be deemed more compatible with what's happening in Europe, and there might be a more easy process of data flow without, you know, sort of privacy hiccups and concerns along the way. You know, one concern, there still are some concerns even with the new plan that's been proposed, and that is, you know, it might only focus on consumer information collected online, but it might not necessarily apply to the collection of personal data in other contexts, like, for example, in the employment context or in the business context. Also, and I'll be interested in your thoughts on this, Jonathan, in a second, you know, will this, you know, codes of conduct be viewed favorably in Europe? That's my understanding. That was something that was perhaps considered at one point, but not really embraced there. Lastly, I think it's worth pointing out that this whole notion doesn't intend to abandon what we have here in terms of federal sector privacy laws. You know, our approach has been to enact privacy laws in different sectors, for example, HIPAA in the healthcare area or Gramm-Leach-Bliley in the financial industries area. That's not intended to be preempted by anything that might happen. However, there seems to be a suggestion that state laws that are designed to protect privacy could be further preempted by a new federal privacy statute. So all that being said, that's what's percolating here. I'm now interested, especially in your viewpoint, Jonathan, because you are on the other side of the pond, and how do you react to this?
I think it's an interesting development, certainly. And from what I've seen of the proposals, they're in some respects a kissing cousin of the Department of Commerce's Safe Harbor scheme, which we've had a number of clients get through successfully recently. I do see that Safe Harbor is being beefed up in some respects. There's much more checks and balances when you register. And I suppose it's not a surprise that they look pretty similar in that, as I understand it, the Obama proposals are that the Department of Commerce will have the shepherding, it'll be their shepherding skills again with the new Privacy Bill of Rights. And I think that things like the seven principles on the Privacy Bill of Rights, again, would be familiar to a European audience. You know, we have, for example, in the UK, the eight principles of good practice. They're more or less the same throughout the different EU jurisdictions, and then again into those countries in Europe like Switzerland that aren't part of the EU. And I think there's almost a broad platform of privacy rights that are proposed by the Obama administration that look close relatives to that. I do foresee a number of issues, for example, with the EU's proposed new data regulation, however, particularly. One that just jumps out at me is security breach. I see that the proposal, from what I understand, is to say that security breaches would have to be reported within 60 days of discovery where there is a risk of harm that would trigger the notification requirement, but there would be some exemptions where there's no reasonable risk that the security breach would result in harm to the individuals. I think that's in direct contrast to the proposed new EU regulation, where you'll know from previous podcasts that the time limit is 24 hours, not 60 days. And there are two separate articles dealing with security breach, one saying that you have to report the breach to the regulator, and one saying that you have to report the breach to affected individuals. And as far as the regulator is concerned, then there's no carve-out for reasonability and no carve-out for things like encryption, for example, in the draft regulation. So it seems to me that needs to be thought through on a cross-Atlantic basis. The UK's call for evidence on the new data regulation closes today. I've made my own submissions along the lines that there are these inconsistencies. But obviously, if Obama's going to set the time limit at 60 days, for most multinational corporations, that will be wholly irrelevant because most of them have, from my experience, a shared database between Europe and the US, and they'll have reported 59 days earlier under the European regulations. So I think my gut feel is that Europe would be welcoming this, but I think any hopes that this will simplify privacy across the Atlantic would have to be qualified by those inconsistencies that I think will exist not only between what is currently European law, but also what is likely to be European law around the same time. Because I understand, what, 2-year time frame, do you think, Eric? 3-year time frame for you? That might be the same as the time frame in Europe.
Sure. Could be. Well, good. Anything further to add, or should we wrap up this particular Tech Law 10?
I think we've probably covered the main bases, haven't we? I suspect, as ever with these things, the devil will be in the detail, won't it? But I would imagine that this is, you know, a response in some respects to talks that I know the US authorities and the European data privacy authorities have been having. And I just wonder if this isn't just a foreshadowing of other initiatives that they might take together, for example, in areas like online behavioral advertising, cookies, and so on. I don't know what you think about that.
I mean, as we have a presidential election now in the offing, I'll be interested to see how the privacy debate continues or evolves politically, Democrat versus Republican, and perhaps, you know, this initiative by the White House is, you know, getting this issue out there for political debate as we head toward the election. We'll find out.
Yeah, an interesting thought, and one that I'm sure we'll return to. Meantime, I guess all that we've got to do is thank you ever so much for listening. We do appreciate your company on these podcasts. It wouldn't be worth doing without you. Do keep your comments coming. Do join into the debate on LinkedIn if you have the time. And so I've been jparmstrong@duanemorris.com's my email address. You can find us on LinkedIn, on Twitter. Eric, why don't you head for the hills with your details?
Not much more to add, but I will note that Jonathan did sneak in his ever so much, so this is one of those special occasions because that's what we wait for in these podcasts. This is Eric Sinrod in San Francisco, Dwayne Morris, EJ Sinrod at DwayneMorris.com. As Jonathan said, you can find me and him on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. We love bringing you these podcasts, and we really appreciate your feedback. So until next time, batten down the hatches. Hope you don't blow away with these new privacy wins. Bye-bye.
Thank you.